Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Do you know about Jesus Christ, or do you know Him? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we study your word and see how you worked with your disciples, so we know that you work with us today. As you discussed with them at Caesarea Philippi, that question, "Who do you say that I am?" grant that we may also hear you speaking very personally to us and addressing that same question. Grant that in your word we may find answer to these mysteries. For we ask it in your holy name. Amen.
Jesus,
hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. friends in Christ. During the past few weeks, my sermons have dealt with the mysteries which surround the person of Jesus Christ. In many ways, Jesus was a mystery to a lot of people, and he continues to be such today. He was a mystery to his folks. The Christmas story reveals Mary's question when the angel came and said, "You are going to give birth to a child, and the child shall be the Savior of the world." She came back and asked the question, "How can I have this child since I am a virgin?" Well, they get over that, and the baby was born. Shortly after the birth, they took the child, as we recalled a few weeks ago in one of the sermons, to the temple for the presentation. There in the temple courtyard, they met the old man Simeon, and he took the child in his arms and said to the mother Mary, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel." Now, there was more to the conversation than that, but you can be sure that when he had gone his way, Mary asked her husband Joseph, "What did Simeon mean?" Then the years went by, and the lad had grown to be 12 years of age. Now they had taken him to the temple, and then on their way home, he had been separated from his family, so that they had to return to the temple and find him. There they found him after 3 days of searching in the temple again. When his mother saw him, she rebuked him and said, "Why have you caused us so much anxiety, Jesus? We didn't know where you were." And then the person by the name of the Lord Jesus himself turned and said, "Don't you understand that I must be in my Father's house?" Well, then the years went by. As far as we know, Joseph died. And now the ministry of Jesus begins. Now our Lord knows fully that he is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, was out in the wilderness. He was preaching. And as Jesus passed by, he said to his audience, "Look, the Lamb of God," and he pointed to Jesus, "he is the one who takes away the sins of the world." And the audience must have wondered, what is he talking about? For the world then, and the world today, does not know Jesus as the Christ. That's the way it is. There are some in the world who know who he is. But the vast majority of people in the world in our enlightened age do not really know who Jesus is. That leads us then to the last question in this series of sermons, where I would ask you, as I ask myself, do you know him? Hearing this question, there are many people who would answer, "I don't have to answer that. In fact, I prefer not to. This question is far too personal." I imagine the response to this remark is, "Yes, I understand that this question is very personal, but your answer cannot be private." If you live in a personal relationship with God, your close associates will know it. You cannot keep that relationship a secret. Your language, behavior, attitude, and spirit will give you away. For Jesus Christ will touch every part of your life. You will stand out as different in a world that still does not know him. Sure, we are sinners, and we stand in need of daily forgiveness, but we are different. And the Holy Spirit, working through the Word of God, bringing us into closer relationship with Jesus Christ, makes that individual delightfully different. You will be a fresh breeze in a cruel, hard old world that hasn't experienced God's love and grace. In today's text, Jesus is talking with his disciples about this very subject, their relationship with him. And he begins with a personal question. That's where I get it for our theme today. Who do you say that I am? It was personal, but Jesus wanted it that way. Now, what if the disciples, and especially their spokesperson, Peter, had answered, "Lord, this is a question that is too personal for us to answer. We are happy to report what others think of you. Many of them complimented you. They consider you one of Israel's great prophets. In the minds of some, you are as great, if not greater, than Jeremiah, Elijah, or John the Baptist. But now you want our testimony, and we prefer not to give it to you at this time." Well, Peter didn't answer that way. Instead, he said, "We know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The Holy Spirit had led them thus far in answering this question as to who Jesus was and is. Hearing Peter's testimony, Jesus is simply thrilled. He turns and he says, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father who is in heaven. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now he has led them thus far. They know that he is not only a great man. They know that he is the Messiah. That was coming a long way. They had knowledge of him, but it was experiential knowledge. They saw this. Their relationship with him was getting more personal all the time. Now Jesus is anxious to take them the next step in revealing who he is and how they fit into that whole life. He reveals to them that he has to be delivered up. He's going to suffer. He's going to die at the cross of Calvary. He began to explain to his disciples that now it's necessary for them to go to Jerusalem, and it's not going to be very easy from here on out. He's going to suffer at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he's going to be killed, but on the third day, he will rise again. They didn't understand that. This did not make any sense to them at all. And so once again, Peter turned and took him aside and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine Peter rebuking Jesus? "Never, Lord," Peter said. "This will never happen to you." Now notice, Jesus is very severe in his rebuke of Peter, for he sees within Peter old Satan again, the same Satan who had him in the wilderness tempting him. And he looked to him and addresses Satan who is within Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." The disciples didn't understand that Jesus had to die. But then he added something else that confused them all the more. Jesus said to them, "I'm not only going to die, but if anyone wants to come after me, he or she must deny himself or herself and take up his or her cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it." Peter and the other disciples were beginning to understand that Jesus was the Messiah, but they had a long way to go in understanding that he had come into the world to be the Savior of all who would trust him as Redeemer and Lord. This understanding did not come until after Christ was raised from the dead. They went through that whole crucifixion, and they didn't know what was happening. Did they know Jesus? Yes, in part they knew him. But they did not know what this was all about. Even though he had told them so clearly, they were still dumb to it. But then came the day when he was raised from the grave. And then came that day, 50 days after Easter, Pentecost, where they were anointed in a very special way by the Holy Spirit. Then their eyes were opened. And now they had a picture. Were all the mysteries erased? No, they were not. But they had a picture. He is the Christ. Now we know him for who he is. And so when they went out on their mission to tell the story of Jesus Christ as they had been told and commissioned to do, they had no fear whatsoever. When the authorities of the Jewish communion began to say, now look, we've had enough of this Jesus, and there is not going to be any more of it around here, or there will be some more crucifixions. Stop mentioning Jesus. Those disciples turned around, Peter and John, I think I was specifically, and this was recorded in the 4th chapter of Acts, verse 20. We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. See, they're willing to confront the authorities of that communion. They're not going to sit back. They're not going to deny him again. Peter had done that once. No more. Oh, there were mysteries. But they knew, and they lived in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was with them, he would sustain them, he would love them, and then he would take them home to heaven. Now then, this leads to our day. The world still does not know Jesus Christ. Here is that personal question then. Do you know him? By knowing him, we mean, have you experienced his love? And do you hear his voice speaking out and through the scriptures as we bring our request to him in our prayers? There is an old saying that absence makes the heart grow fonder. Now, that may be true for some people in their relationship with other humans, but let me tell you, it is never true in our relationship with Jesus Christ. For that relationship to grow, you and I have got to live with him in his word. And our prayer life must be a vital part of our lives. As our communication with the Lord grows stronger, our relationship with him becomes more and more personal. You might compare it with a relationship to another person here on this earth. And let's take the President of the United States. If we asked the question, do you know President Bush? Most of us would say, yes, we do. We have read about him in our books and newspapers and magazines. We have watched him on television and we have heard him on radio. And we have a lot of information about him. But we really don't know him. You'd have to go to his father and his mother, his siblings, his wife, his children. Maybe even Colin Powell and some of those who are very close to him in his work. There you begin to know him just a little bit. You have to experience this person in a relationship with him. And as you have that relationship and that relationship grows, it becomes more personal all the time. That's the way it is with Jesus. He comes to us through his means of grace, the word and the sacraments. And he says to us, here is who I am. I am the one who has come to grant you the forgiveness of your sins. I am the one who has promised you life everlasting. And in that way, we come to know him better. So again, the personal question that you might want to evade, and I guess probably you can to a certain extent, but you can't keep your relationship with him silent. If there is no relationship, it will reveal itself. And if there is a relationship, it will reveal itself too. On New Year's Day, we had a neighborhood party. I sat beside a young man that I perhaps had never talked to, but I used to see him as a kid in our neighborhood. Came to visit Grandma and Grandpa, and he was one of those little boys. Now he's 21 years old. I asked him, Adam, what are you doing these days? And he smiled and said, I am a junior at the university. What happens after you graduate from the university, I asked. And the young man said, I'm going to go to a theological seminary. I want to be in some kind of Christian ministry. Well, this delighted me, and that led to the question, where did the Lord become living in your life? And he told me of being on a youth retreat with some Christian friends, and it was during those days that Christ became very personal to him, and empowered by the Holy Spirit, he committed his life to the Lord. He was grateful for the Christian instruction that he had received in his confirmation classes. He said, "This instruction has taught me about the Savior, and I believe that without this information, I would not have come to know him personally. But after that teaching experience, it was necessary for the young man to say, 'I know him.' It was necessary that Christ came to him personally." And that's what happened on that retreat. And that happens again and again, friend. I recently had a visit with two men in my Bible class on Thursday morning. And the one said, "You know, I have always known Jesus Christ in one sense of the word. We were raised in the church. I was a Sunday school teacher. But it was not until my wife and I had gone away on a family retreat that I first met him." Another man in that group said to him, "What do you mean you first met him?" "He came to me. He came to me in his word and spoke to me. It was as if a whole new relationship had come." And so I began to live with him every day in his word and pray, and that continues to go on. And now I know him in a very, very personal way. There is a time when we need to review our relationship with Christ. That's what Jesus was doing with his disciples at Caesarea Philippi. That's what he wants to do with us today as he asks the same question to you and to me. And that's the question of this hour. Who do you say that I am? It is time for review. Amen.
Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Face to face I shall behold.
Save by grace.
Father in heaven, we thank you for all of this instruction that we have received in the church during these many, many years. We thank you for faithful pastors and teachers of all kinds who have tried to make it clear to us who you really are, Lord Jesus. And now we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will continue to use all this information that we have, that we may enter into an even greater personal relationship with you. For some, it may be the first time that this information suddenly becomes experiential. For others of us, it's always a new thought, a new understanding of what it is to walk personally with the Lord. Bring it to us this day through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. May God's richest blessings be with you this week. We pray that the message and music in today's service have brightened your day and brought you comfort and peace. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. To receive this newsletter free of charge, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. We pray that if our ministry meets your spiritual needs, you will consider a contribution to help pay for radio time. Many shut-ins depend on this program for their Sunday worship. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our web address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 42 years.